Luke chapter 6 and verse number 39. The Lord's speaking a parable, and he's dealing with the leadership and of the nation. He speaks about the blind leading the blind, and that just can't, that won't work for the blind to lead the blind. And he says in verse 40, and it's an interesting thing, a disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect, mature, shall be as his master. And so if they did things to our Lord, we cannot expect that they won't do things to us. But our place and our position in the kingdom, if you will never rise above the Lord. So as we consider our own lives and as we walk, let us not think that we'll rise up above the Lord in any way. He speaks here about being a help one to another in verses 41 and 42, and that we need to be introspective. And that's what this message is an introspective message. It's one that we all need to look into ourselves, not consider or think about what somebody else needs, but just our own selves. And so that's what he speaks about there. You can't help your brother unless you look into your own life and get the beam. Brother Stephen illustrated that, you know, this big old pole out of our eye, and we're trying to get up there to help our brother with the little piece of a micro speck in their eye, and we're whacking them, and that's what I think of, whacking them in the head with my beam as I'm trying to get that out of their eye. We are to be willing and in a place that we can help, and we need to do that well, and that takes a lot of grace for us to do that well. It doesn't come to us naturally. We need the Lord's help in it. But then we come to verses 43 through 45, where the Lord says, "For a good tree, because a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit." So you won't go to a good tree and look for something fouled, because that's just not the way it works. "Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." You won't go to a tree that's known for bringing unprofitable, fruit that is not good and look for something good. We just don't do that in life, do we? Verse 44, "For every tree is known by its own fruit." That's how you know what kind of tree it is, by what it's bearing. I'm terrible at knowing what trees are. I can maybe pick out a maple tree, but all the signs have to be there. And, of course, it doesn't bear any fruit that we... But some people can know trees by their leaves. But the Lord says, as a practical point, the fruit, what's generated by the tree, what's generated by us, is how we will be known. "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, do they?" Let's go to the briar patch and pick figs. No. "Nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." You just don't do that. You go to a grapevine to get grapes. You go to a fig tree to get figs. And those trees are good, and those trees are known by the fruit that they bear. Verse 45, bringing it to us, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." So a person, man, woman, boy, or girl, out of the treasure of their heart bring forth that which is the good treasure of their heart brings forth that which is good. "And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And so we have the heart here, and we have the treasure that's in the heart, and then we have the mouth that tells us what's going on inside. It gives us all away. It's just that way. I was thinking in regards to the message, I was thinking years ago, and when we lived in Missouri and our children were young, sometimes Sister Duke Jr. would take a tape recorder. That was back in the days of a tape recorder. And she would put it there in the living room, and she would put it on record. and it would record for a while. And then at a later time, we would play it again. And it told what was in our hearts. And a lot of times it was embarrassing. We speak before we even think sometimes. It's just that way with us. It's natural. That's natural for us. It's good to understand that it is natural for us. It doesn't make it right. And for us to know that we've got that is good. It's good for us to know that, so then we can work on it in a way that would be pleasing to our Lord, in a way that would be a help to others. And so here, good treasure in the heart of a good man, an evil man with an evil treasure in his heart, bringing forth that which is evil. The mouth reveals it all. So I ask the question this morning, what is in your heart? What is in my heart? It's good for us to be introspective this way, and may the Lord help us with it. In Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, when we speak about the heart, it's a verse that we always go and touch on. Where the prophet, the Lord tells us through the prophet, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's true. That is true indeed, and we need to know that. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the heart of man is. And that's telling about our natural state, the natural condition of our heart. But Christ says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart can bring forth that which is good. So that means that there can be a difference. It seems contradictory, but it is not, because the difference is salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Naturally, we're over here with this evil man and the evil treasure that's in our heart and our mouth gives us away. But a good man out of the good treasure, well, that can only be by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living within. The thing is, as we well know, and knowing it is one thing and working on it is another, we've still got that old man, and that some of that old evil treasure rattling around inside, don't we? And we've got to take it and put it down. It can rise up. Again, that's not justification by any means. But the Lord says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Our mouth speaks about what's going on in our hearts, what we're thinking, what's important to us, what our pursuits are. And so we need, as the Lord's children, we need to be concerned and consider and work on those things that we harbor in our heart. We've got the Spirit of God living within. We've got good blessings from above, from the Lord. And we can take that old evil treasure and put it away from us. And the Lord does provide and gives us that good treasure. And what do our mouths reveal about us? For the unsaved, this about what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? To the unsaved, it can, in its deceit, can cause the unsaved person to say, well, I'm okay. I'm okay where I'm at. Well, that's the deception of the heart. It's desperately wicked. It will tell a thing that is not true. The only way for one to have good treasure in the heart and to bring forth that which is good is by the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. In Mark chapter 7, in this gospel, there's an accusation brought against the Lord, and we read about it here. And the Pharisees say, why aren't your disciples washing their hands when they eat bread? They're finding fault in that. They tell about their traditions and what they do. And I like what Brother Stephen said here not too long ago about how they had, there's a law of the Lord, but they with their commentary and their guidance and directives, they built a wall even around that to where no one could approach being able to go against the law, they thought, but they're teaching that for the Word of God, and it's not even the Word of God. It's their own thinking, and that's, and they became very proud in that. And so the Lord speaks to them, and He speaks to them about what Isaiah said and what Isaiah told. And verse number 8 is a summary of that. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other things, such like things you do. And so you're holding that up for what God says rather than what the Lord has truly said. He calls all the people together in verse number 14, and he tells it straight and makes it very clear. He said, "Hearken unto me, every one of you," then the latter part of verse 14, "and understand," verse 15, "there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." That which comes from his heart. Verse number 20, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, the evil treasure," as we saw in Luke, "the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." If we are defiled, we are defiled by evil treasure that proceeds from within in the heart. Do you want to be defiled? No. Anybody with any reason and any understanding would say, no, I don't want to be defiled before the Lord. Because that's what this is we're defiled before those that we are around, but we're defiled before our Lord, before God. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28, the writer declares, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." And if I understand that right and take that right, the heart of the righteous, the one with the good treasure, will think about what is right and good. What is the scripture says? Apples of gold and pictures of silver? Pleasant. Appropriate. With a heart full of good treasure, one will think about what to say. Seek the Lord's face about what to do. Have understanding to what will be a blessing in obedience before the Lord and what will be a help to those round about us. Won't be selfish, but have consideration to what gives help and blessing on down the line, on down the road for the future. That Proverbs 15:28 goes on to say, "But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." It's just ready just to just more defilement, harmful things, hurtful words, selfishness. It's just a bad, bad, terrible picture, isn't it? What's in our hearts? What's in our hearts? In Matthew 12, verse 34, the Lord said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" He's speaking to the leadership. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Our mouths give us away. You know, and it's... So how is it that we can know? And there in Mark, there was a review, a list there about the evil treasure of the heart. I think a most appropriate passage that tells us about the evil treasure of the heart. So we, as the Lord's children, can be warned, and we can be on the lookout for these things. We can take these things and put them away from us, having this old man yet at hand. In Galatians chapter 5, we see a listing here about the works of the flesh. And indeed, this is evil treasure of the heart. Things that we as the children of God just don't need. And any that are here and not saved, I'm sorry to say, but in your state, you're stuck with this. This is what you've got, and that's all that you have. And listen, you can be rescued from these things. I don't stand before you as one that is... I am to be an example as a pastor. I'm to be a good witness as a son of God. But don't follow me. Follow Christ. And you need rescue and salvation from Him. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, the evil treasure of the heart, these things that will come out of our mouth and come out in our actions, also the other aspect of conversation, that word conversation in the Word of God speaks about what we think and what we say and what we do. The evil treasure of the heart is defined as this. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, verse number 19 of Galatians 5, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And let us remember, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do, that practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hear what the Lord says. For we that are saved, we've been rescued from these things. And you that are here and not saved, you need to be rescued from these things. Adultery, we understand about that. Adultery and fornication. I tell you what, we live in such a pornographic society on every hand. It's just promoted and just brought forth in every bit of media and everywhere you turn, and the attitude and the way of our society and our culture. Marriage and family is mocked. And adultery and wickedness and in this way, and fornication, and just, well, we've been sold the bill of goods that we're a bunch of animals. And in that way, we, as a society, live that way, like a bunch of animals. And so when these things are in the heart, they come out of the mouth. You know, be careful about what you watch. Be careful. May we be careful about what we listen to. Because you know what will happen? We'll go to talking about some thing that we've watched or we've listened to where they've taken the Lord's name in vain. They've been very vile in their speech, and their attitudes and ways about different things and different aspects of life is just totally against God. We've given away what's in our heart and what we've taken to entertain ourselves with. Uncleanness. Impurity. Impurity is a way to understand uncleanness. It's like spiritually being the way that we are when we go out and work in the dirt, work in the garden, and mow the grass and do the weed eating. We're all covered. You want to go to bed that way? You want to go around the next day all covered up with that mess? But talking about in the spiritual sense, we're all dirtied up from the world. Uncleanness. Things that are not God. Lasciviousness. Just a pouring forth of sin and iniquity, concupiscence, I think, is connected somewhat. And the things that are just forbidden by God, that a person would go after those things, that we just don't need to go there as men, women, boys, and girls, but we are drawn to it and we go there and mess around with those things. I speak very generally. To be filthy, to be wanton. I just want the things that are forbidden by God. Idolatry is another thing that is mentioned here. Image worship, we're not so much hung up with that, although we may love things more than we love the Lord. But I think in our culture, in our society, in our day, is the love of self, the worship of self. That the soul, the heart might just discover itself and what is appealing to the flesh and the mind, that's just what we want. Work and work and work just to live, to satisfy the lust of the flesh. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying things, but when that's all the focus of life is, that we work so we can enjoy ourselves thoroughly and completely without any consideration of God and what He wants and what His design is, where we just live for pleasure. Remember how it is that we've seen with the minor prophets. That was one of the arguments that the Lord said. The elite crawled up to such in their wealth and their ability on the backs of their brethren, and all they were interested in was their ivory palaces and their stuff and just enjoyment of that. Well, there's nothing wrong with having an ivory palace if you honor the Lord in building it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things of life as long as you don't get it by hook and crook. But their desire was so insatiable that they just, no matter how, Ahab had to have Naboth's vineyard. And God hates that attitude. Witchcraft. Oh, the root of the Greek word for this word witchcraft, as it's translated in the English, is pharmakia. And what is it that's being said about our southern border, I mean, and our seashores, that drugs and such is coming in, just the reliance upon medication to be able to get through things and such. I tell you what, self-wisdom to be able to deal with life will not end up anywhere good. We need the Lord. And He's given us medicine and He's given us help, and we need to use that well. But when we have trouble, who is it that we first go to? The doctor or the Lord? Hatred. Oh my, we're seeing this, aren't we, in our time? And hatred, going along with anger, a wrath, rather, that's mentioned here. Hostility in every case. Just we see things that are wrong and not right, and you just are taken up with the hatred of people. Yes, we politically disagree with some, and we socially disagree because of the things that the Lord has given. But hatred, hostility, it's connected to this point that is mentioned of murder, oppression. That's the evil treasure of the heart. Hatred. Hostility. Variance. Which is synonyms for such are contention and debate and strife. Always looking for an argument. Just always argue, and in our day, faced with the facts, we'll still argue against the truth. It's what's in our hearts? What's in my heart? What's in your heart? Another word here is emulations. Zeal, and it touches upon jealousy. You know, jealousy is a very, very dangerous thing. Jealousy can tear things up very quickly. Suspicion. Lack of trust. What's in our hearts? It's listed here as the evil treasure of the heart. Wrath, this is anger. We may be angry, but be careful about it turning into something and doing something that is not right. Fierceness that we see in our day. It's another thing that's listed. It's a sign of the days, of the times of the returning of our Lord, where men will be fierce with one another. Just looking for a fight. Looking to put one down or to kill another. Evil treasure of the heart. See, all this starts from within and then manifests itself in the person by what's said at the least or what's done at the most. Strife, again, along there with that of variance, just contention and debate, self-justification because of the lust, the desire of what a person wants to do. Or I think a thing that we see in our day, if anything is good, there's a contingent, a great contingent, it seems, that's just against it. If it has a touch, if it just has a small hint of godliness, it's stood against and wants to be pulled down and destroyed. Not at a time where we just, well, you go on your wicked way and I'll leave these alone that want to do well. But no, those that are following an evil way want to come and destroy anything and everything that is good. Strife. Seditions. Disunion and division. Where things blessed by God and given by God are to be unified and together, but there's this thing of just breaking it down and breaking it apart and tearing it up. All these things are interconnected. A few of them can come together to bring the other. Heresies. God has said what's right, and we chose to go another way. God has declared, He's made a judgment about a thing. We say, no, I want something else. Envyings. Here we speak, it speaks of jealousy again. Oh, jealousy to the point of getting back. Vengeance. We're not to hurt. But we're certainly not to strike back when we are hurt. It's natural to do that. Envyings. And then the envy and the heresies, the sedition and such can come down so much to murders. You know, I was teased a lot when I was a kid in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I tell you what, some of those guys that teased me and picked on me so, I would have been happy for them to be dead in that day. But that's not right. That's not right. Even though we might not lay our hands on someone to take their life, to desire them ill, is murderous before the Lord. Drunkenness, intoxication, being intoxicated not only with the spirits and such as that we find physically in the world, but how about being drunken with those things that are against the Lord? Drunken with pleasure. Not holding things in the right place. And this of revelings, we see that. We see that in even those that would purport to have a good stand where they revel and they let loose, rioting and such as that. And then there's this umbrella clause at the end. Several things have been listed, and such like. Anything else that hasn't been mentioned? Anything else that we know is so and that may come about? Maybe other things that would be manifested to a greater degree in different societies. You know, is being bored a fruit of the Spirit? Discontentment? How about apathy? How about a lack of engagement? How about disinterest? How about no need for fellowship? No need for communion? Just don't need it. I get enough with this and this. I don't need the rest. How about bitterness? The Lord tells us that bitterness is an evil root, that if it goes on, will defile many. It's not held just at one person. It'll go and touch many, many, many. See, this evil treasure of the heart is described here in Galatians 5 and as we read over in the book of Mark. It's just as Brother Jeremiah summarizes, the Lord summarizes in chapter 17, verse 5 of Jeremiah. Listen, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. That's what's going on, isn't it? Evil treasure of the heart in these things. This is just what comes out of man. This is what's in each and every one of us. And you know what? It goes to nowhere. It's a destructive end. It's a destructive path, and it's a destructive end, and is not glorifying to our Creator. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh the flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's what these things do, don't they? They are a departure from the Lord. But praise be the Lord, he tells us about the good treasure of the heart that we have available to us and in the Spirit of the Lord that is imparted unto us by salvation. And again, we who are saved, we've got this wrestling as we've dealt with so many times in the past from the Scripture, and we're subject to these things, and we need to take these things and put them down, and let it not be that our actions and our mouth and tell about what's going on in our heart if we would harbor these things within us. Let's put these things away. But let the good treasure and desire the good treasure and ask the Lord to help us cultivate the good treasure of the Spirit of God living within us. And you that are here and not saved, you too can have the good treasure of the heart. But you can only do so by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we point you to Him. We pray that you'd repent and believe and trust in Him. The works of the flesh is how the latter is defined and told before the giving of that list. But here, the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that a brighter picture? Isn't that a more pleasant thing? The fruit of the Spirit, like that tree, that reference of the tree that the Lord gave, this is what's going to grow and come forth. What is it with fruit? There's nourishment with fruit. There's blessing with fruit. There's joy with fruit. But with the works of the flesh and the evil treasure of the heart, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Love. An abundance of love and care. Love that is not just expressed with the mouth, but is expressed by action. Love for our Lord for saving us, and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been saved by our Lord other. A desire for fellowship one with another. Being near. Being a help, worshiping together, and praising our Lord and glorifying our Lord in this calling that He's bestowed upon us in the church. And why would not that bring joy? Of course it would bring joy. Calm delight in the goodness of our Lord towards us, having been rescued and brought so far from darkness unto light. Joy that in spite of maybe the situation we find ourselves in, suffering and in our flesh, that in our Lord, the joy of our Lord is our strength. And peace. Isn't it sad that it can be that some, we can be so blessed in the things of life but cannot be at peace. But our Lord gives peace. And being focused upon Him and resting in Him and looking to Him and communing with Him and asking Him for the help that we need and the struggles that we have, He will give us peace. But we'll only receive it by faith, won't we? That's the way that it is with the Lord, all by faith. A synonym for peace is prosperity. And it is really, really true, because as we had so many messages before about our lives don't consist of our stuff, but truly consist of our relationships. You can have all the billions and stuff and property of the world, and people are sitting in the middle of that, can travel, get on their airplane and travel anywhere they want to. They're in great physical prosperity, but have no spiritual prosperity. Torment is still at hand. That's the reason that you have millionaires will jump off of buildings and kill themselves. They don't have inner peace. They don't have peace with God. They don't have peace with themselves. And they don't have peace with their fellow man. Peace is indeed the true prosperity. Long-suffering. To forbear. To be patient with. Like our Lord was and is with us. Amen? This is the good fruit. This is the fruit, the good treasure of the heart given to us by the Spirit of God. Gentleness. Sister Jennifer's here with her grandson. She will be very gentle with the little fellow, won't she? And that's the way that the children of God are to be too. And that's the way our Lord has been with us in bringing us along, hadn't He? And then goodness. Being good like God is good. Seeking, desiring such. Good treasure of the heart. To be helpful. To be concerned, to pray, to extend ourselves for the need of others, to have a desire for the soul of others. And then this of faith. Wait a minute. The fruit of the Spirit is faith? Indeed it is. To see that it might be seen that from our mouth, as the children of God, not feigning such, but it be truly us and who we are and what the Lord has touched us with and how He has worked in us, that we speak of faith and rest in our Lord to do and accomplish the things that are needed at hand. Faith is expressed in our prayer and our petition before God. Faith is expressed when we declare and believe, truly believe within, that the Lord has the answer when we don't see any answer that's possible. The good treasure of the heart utters forth faith in the Lord. We need the Lord to work here. And believe and trust that He will. And then meekness. Meekness, just because we can, we don't. Whether it be by our knowledge, whether it be by our ability, our influence, our finances, or whatever, it has very much connected to temperance. There to help and there to put to work whatever gifts that we've been given, but not a railroad over top of others. To be self-controlled like our Lord was self-controlled when He came to this earth and endured the contradiction of sinners against Himself. He came meek and lowly, didn't He? To be gentle. To be humble, to walk humbly with our God. To be willing to be used of Him. And again, temperance, another good treasure of the heart, self-control. Not out of control, but self-controlled. pleasing unto the Lord in all things. Against such there is no law. Of these good things, this good treasure of the heart that we have by the Spirit of God and by virtue of being saved by Him, we can't do too much of them. There's not a limit. Well, get 10 of these and you will have accomplished it. There's no completion of them as long as we live. But let's contrast that against such there is no law. Let's contrast that against the work of the flesh, the evil treasure of the heart. How is it where it says that this, the works, the fruit of the Spirit, the good treasure of the heart, that we can't do too many. But what is it about the evil treasure of the heart? Once is too much. Isn't that so? Once of any of those is too much. Where the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh, there's no limit on the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the limit on the evil treasure of the heart and the works of the flesh is to never do so. Don't go that way. Never benefits anything, anyone. Against such there is no law regarding the fruit of the Spirit, the good treasure of the heart. But in regards to the evil treasure of the heart, it's best to leave every single one of them alone. Leave them alone. What kind of heart do I have? What kind of heart do you have? And what is in our hearts? Remember in Ezekiel, we're told twice over the promise of the Lord upon His nation, and we can understand a principle of the Lord and how He does with salvation. He tells them that He will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. What kind of heart do you have? What is in your heart? A stony heart? An evil treasure of the heart? Or a heart of flesh with the good treasure of the heart from the Lord? In conclusion, we look to this in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verses 15 through 18, where the Scripture tells us, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." You got your next thought. You and I have our next move. We've got our next utterance in life. Let it be holy before the Lord. Verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It's a tall order for the children of God. "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work," yes, us too, "and pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." I need to fear about what I think before the Lord reverentially. Need to fear about what I say, fear about what I do. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers." I have been, you that are saved, we have been saved from that evil treasure of the heart. Let us not go back to that. Let us not exhibit that. Let us not have that to be a part of our life anymore. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27, the Scripture says, But to whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Our Lord Jesus lives within us. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, would it be that we would defile the temple of our Lord with evil treasure? Oh, no. Let us abound in the good treasure of the heart and put away wickedness from ourselves. Our Lord Jesus lives within. Our Lord Jesus is resident when I think things evil, when I speak things in regard coming from that evil treasure of the heart. The Lord Jesus is the nearest of all when I do and go that way. Oh, may God help us that we stay away from those things and only manifest this good treasure of the heart and what we think and what we say and what we do. As Brother John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, he that saith he abideth, he lives in Jesus, in him, ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked. To walk like any evil of the treasure of the heart, any evil treasure of the heart with Jesus? Zero. None. And listen, if you're here and you're not saved, it is by Jesus and him alone that you can be rescued from such. He's the only one that can rescue you from the evil treasure of your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, good treasure of the heart. Old things, evil treasure of the heart, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Evil treasure of the heart gone. Good treasure of the heart to rule within. May the Lord help us with His Word.